The day I left my library in France for the last time, I felt desperately unhappy. And waves of remembered lines about revenge and rage and despair came hammering into my head, as if the library were opening its books to me in a final friendly gesture. A quote from Through the Looking Glass came to my rescue. To console Alice, the White Queen instructs her, "Consider what a great girl you are. Consider what a long way you've come today. Consider what a clock it is. Consider anything, only don't cry." I considered many things. The peaceful place in which the library stood, the time it had taken to build it, the books I acquired when I was there. I asked myself, what were the circumstances that led me to set up the collection about to be stashed away in numbered boxes? Because if every library is autobiographical, its packing up seems to have something of a self-obituary. Perhaps these questions are the true subject of this elegy. One of my earliest memories is of a shelf full of books on the wall above my cot, from which my nurse would choose a bedtime story. I must have been two or three at the time. This was my first personal library. When I learned to read by myself a year or so later, the shelf was transferred to ground level, and it became my private domain. I remember arranging and rearranging my books according to secret rules that I invented for myself. All the golden book series had to be grouped together. The fat collections of fairy tales were not allowed to touch the minuscule Beatrix Potters. Stuffed animals could not sit on the same shelf as the books. I told myself that if these rules were upset, terrible things would happen. Superstition and the art of libraries are tightly entwined. That first library stood in a house in Tel Aviv. My next library grew in Buenos Aires, during the decade of my adolescence. Before returning to Argentina, my father had asked his secretary to buy enough books to fill the shelves of his library in our new house. Obligingly, she ordered cartloads of volumes from a second-hand dealer in Buenos Aires. But when trying to place them on the shelves, she found that many of them wouldn't fit. Undaunted, she had them trimmed down to size and then rebound in deep green leather, which combined with the dark oak colour of the shelves lent the place the atmosphere of a glade. I pilfered books from that library to stock my own, which covered three walls of my bedroom. Reading these circumcised books required the extra effort of supplanting the missing bit of every page, an exercise that no doubt trained me to read later on the cut-up novels of William Burroughs. I left most of these early books behind when I set off for Europe in 1969. Sometime before the military dictatorship in Argentina. I suppose that had I stayed, like so many of my friends, I would have had to destroy my library for fear of the police, since in those terrible days one could be accused of subversion merely for being seen with a book that looked suspicious. Argentinian plumbers found that there was an unprecedented call for their services, since many readers tried to burn their books in their toilet bowls, causing the porcelain to crack. In every place I settled, a library began to grow, as if by spontaneous generation. I collected books in Paris, and in London, and in Milan, in the humid heat of Tahiti, where I worked as a publisher for 5 long years, in Toronto, and in Calgary. When the time came to leave, I packed them up in boxes and forced them to wait as patiently as possible inside tomb-like storage spaces in the uncertain hope of resurrection. My Herman Melville novels still show traces of Polynesian mold.